Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Girls, ladies, and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium Miguel. It's your favorite Uncle Silk.
It's Dan.
And Delatorre.
Same corner, same time. Ready to vibe with you guys, talk a little recruiting, porter talk. What's the vibe like? How y'all feeling?
I had a good weekend. I mean, I'm not sure about you guys. A little chilly here in Tampa. A couple farmers markets over the weekend. My parents were in town. Silk, I texted you on Saturday because my dad had to be reminded which NFL team you played on.
Hey man, shout out to Pops for being very optimistic and, you know, just has a great outlook on who he think I am as a person. I appreciate Mr. Thompson.
What's your Frisbee team's name?
The National Frisbee League. I played for the West Palm Beach Jaguars.
Okay.
Shout out to my Jaguars before we get into that, man. Yeah. We're in the playoffs, baby. Duval.
Yeah, Miami's in the playoffs too. The Bucks are in the playoffs. I think I saw the first time all three teams in Florida there since 1999. Wow. The Dolphins did everything that they could to not make it.
Really tried hard.
Yeah, but somehow we grasped victory out of the claws of defeat. A 9-6 victory over the New York Jets.
You guys, energy is different than early in the season. I'll tell you that. Sure is.
Yeah. Well, you know, a quarterback's brain is scrambled eggs. The backup quarterback doesn't have a hand, so you're under third quarterback, and you got to go to Buffalo.
With no hand.
The guy has two gloves and no hands, you know? It's crazy.
Teddy Two Gloves has no hands. You got to go to Buffalo. It's going to be a bloodbath next week.
So yeah, 9.5-point underdog.
Yeah, and Buffalo playing inspired football right now, so good luck with that, bro. We won the football game, but it wasn't on Trevor's arm like it should have been. We left a lot of points on the field. We should have handled Tennessee a little bit more handily, but we got the dub regardless, man. We learned how to win, Nick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, what are they, 9-8?
Yeah, 9-8.
And then the Bucks are 8-9? Like, the parity in the NFL this year is wild. Like, you have an 8-9 division winner. And then a 9-8 division winner.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, all three playoff teams in all three teams in Florida are in the playoffs, and they're collectively one game above 500. So,
no thanks to the Tampa Bay Bucks.
No thanks to the Tampa Bay Bucks, but you know, everybody's back at zero right now.
Yeah,
Dolphins, Bills. Who the Jags have?
We playing
Chargers.
Chargers.
Oh, all right. Cool. We'll see you guys this time next week, and I don't imagine we'll be talking about the Dolphins next game.
I don't think so.
No faith?
No faith. Ye of little faith. No.
Man,
no.
You guys came on here with big lies early in the offseason, bro. I mean, early in the
season.
Things
were a little bit different. Yeah. You know, we start off 3-0, then we go 0-3, then we win 5 in a row, and then we lose 5 in a row. So who knows? Maybe we're a streaky team right now. We're 1-0
Super Bowl's
right
next.
Now.
We got to stay positive next. There. Yep. Next,
if
next
we
run.
Go to the Super Bowl, I will be there without a doubt.
Oh, similar vibes, man. If a miracle is to happen in 2023, and my Jags pull up, I'm pulling out all stops to get there to that time. I don't know if we're getting into the game, but just in case we happen to win, I got to be in town.
So that's going to be the craziest weekend ever in Scottsdale or Phoenix, because that's the same weekend as the Waste Management Open.
Ooh.
Which is that big golf tournament. So you've probably seen it on TV where they are all rowdy and you know, all crowded around that par 3 green where they're all super rowdy and loud and rather obnoxious golf tournament. It's supposedly one of the most fun, like golf tournaments you could go to outside of maybe going to the Masters like Nick has. But in terms of just the actual energy of the event, but that and the Super Bowl is happening on the same weekend. So
I was in Scottsdale. I went to that in 2018.
Oh,
bachelor party.
How is Scottsdale? I got it on my my bucket list of places I want to visit. Looks like good vibes, but I want to go to Arizona. What's it like out there?
I like. Go ahead.
It's just a suburb.
Yeah,
It's like a very typical suburb. I went there for an event, and that event, like Dan said, was wild. And we had a bachelor party, so we were golfing, drinking, went to the golf tournament. Outside of the golf tournament, I don't know that it's like a destination.
Yeah, I would say that there's a, you know, historic Scottsville is pretty cool. There's like a main street area. It's not huge. I think the Scottsdale name is a lot bigger than the Scottsdale, the city. Phoenix is cool. There's a lot to do nearby from hiking. There's obviously a lot of suburbs. You have Tempe and Glendale and Scottsdale and, you know, downtown Phoenix and everything else. So it's just so sprawling. I think a lot of people go, obviously, because you can go year round. Obviously during the summer, it gets, you know, exceptionally hot. But outside of that, man, I've always enjoyed Scottsdale, although I'm not sure why it's as big of a destination as it is. I guess maybe outside of, you know,
seem like
I think the Kush is free out there now. I think they freed the Kush out there. I know a lot of people that's navigating towards Arizona. Janoris is speaking highly of Arizona. He out there living and got a crib.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. They also don't do daylight savings time. So
yeah.
Word.
Yeah.
Yeah. As a state, they were just like, we're done with this.
Yeah.
So I think they're on Pacific time now.
Yeah, and then they'll bounce to mountain time.
Or I guess they just don't change their time. In their minds, they're not bouncing back and forth. They're just not changing their
vibes. They're just
vibing. Just they get vibes.
It. They get it out there.
You seem like a big bottled blonde guy, Dan.
I was. I went there a few times. Yeah. Where else?
A restaurant, bar? What is that?
Listen, when I say that Dan's a big bottled blonde guy, it's definitely not a nice sit-down restaurant. This is Dan in Arizona.
Bender
getting lit.
Big Bender vibes.
Bender vibes. I love it, gentlemen. All right, well, let's get on to the show. A couple of commitments, a couple of new Gator faces to Gator Nation. But as always, let's give a shout out to our friend Alan Horn with State Farm Insurance. I think you just had a birthday on Friday, so congratulations and happy birthday to Alan Horn. Give him a buzz, 706-692-2888. If you're looking for home, renters, life, business insurance, whatever your insurance needs may be, Alan is a State Farm agent in the Valdosta, Georgia area, but he serves not only Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, and Alabama. So again, give him a call, 706-692-2888. Or AlanHornInsurance.com. All right, boys. Well, first, congratulations to I want to give a shout out to Ricky Hurtado, Director of Football Communications for the Florida Gators. Him and his wife just announced that they had a baby today. So congratulations. Pardon me, 5 days ago, they announced it today. Abigail is their daughter's name. So congratulations to Ricky Hurtado. With the news of new additions to the Florida Gators on Saturday during the All-American Bowl, 6'8", 325-pound offensive tackle Caden Jones announced that he would be committing to the University of Florida. He was looking at Florida and Texas A&M as we got close to the end there. Gentlemen, give me your thoughts on Caden Jones. He is either a 3-star or a 4-star, depending on where you look.
Go ahead, so.
A lot of upside, but this is a guy that's going to have to, you know, go through the system a little bit, mature, get developed. But for sure, offensive tackle, one of the few in this class that we brought in, 6'7", 6'8". The frame is there, a lot to put on that frame, but a guy that's going to have to get developed, get into the system and you know, mature a little bit. But overall, don't dislike the tape. I try to enjoy every recruit they bring in and have a critical take on it outside of he's a 3-star. What are we doing? We're not going to beat Georgia with this guy. You know, like
that's an easy take.
Easy take.
I think not necessarily a project, but you know, like you said, someone who needs to fill out a little bit. He's almost 6'8", and 300 pounds. I think Florida still needs a little bit of help in the portal at tackle. Good to get a tackle for, you know, down the line. And I think this is probably it. Like, unless you're going to find maybe a running back, I think it's probably it for high school recruiting for Florida this cycle.
Yeah, I don't know who Florida goes after outside of and we'll talk a little bit more about the portal here in a second. I don't think that there's any other names that are being connected to UF. I know that there was the two twins that decommitted from Harris UCF. Twins, that yeah. I'm sorry, who were they? Harris?
The Harris twins, yeah. The
Harris twins. I know that the Florida fans are clamoring for those names. Guys. I will pull those up because I wasn't planning on talking about them. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think that Florida's, you know, class is going to end up being relatively strong, you know, top to bottom, the way that we look at it. I think that Caden Jones is a good add. I think that he's a guy that knows that he's going to wait a year at least before playing, where he does want a red shirt. I do think that, you know, Florida, from all intents and purposes, hit a lot of their needs. There's still some holes that they'll try to fill in and plug in the gaps there. But I do think that Caden Jones, from a size perspective, certainly is your prototypical tackle that you're looking for. You know, similar, in my opinion, to probably a Cam Waits in terms of body size, and probably also in terms of the amount of coaching and enhancement and skill set that he's going to need. He came from the same high school, I believe, as Montrell Johnson. So that's an interesting little connection there. But outside of that, excited to see him. He looked good at the beginning of the game in the All-American Bowl. Had gotten beat a few times, you know, throughout the game a little bit after that. But, you know, all in all, still a guy that I think will have a positive impact for Florida in the next few years, and certainly a guy that you beat some decent schools for as well. So excited to see where he comes. The two twin linebackers are Andrew and Michael Harris. They are being recruited heavily by Michigan State right now.
In my what I was told with those two, one has, like, are we recruiting both, or what's the situation with both those guys? Nick, do you know?
I don't know. These are two kids that I get asked about all the time. I don't know if Florida's even recruiting them, to be honest.
I don't think that anybody has ever said that Florida is recruiting them or did really recruit them ever.
The message board really wants both of them.
Well, I think the message boards are saying, hey, there's needs at linebacker. There's two linebackers that are out there ranked.
Right,
I think they're both Brantley in the top 30, right? And they're from, like, Brantley, so why not? I don't know enough about them one way or another.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of just taking people to take them either. Like, I want the coaches to actually see potential in them, you know, and not just – because it's so many opportunities still at guys in college football and what it is now. So I don't want to waste spots on just, hey, let's just take these guys. Because a lot of Mullen guys was just, let's just take these guys and we can fill them in, athletes, and figure it out later. And you just get a depth chart of just bad takes once you start doing that, man. So if the staff want them, they evaluate it and like them, then cool. But I don't want to just take kids because they're just here and available.
Yeah, no, absolutely. A couple other notes on Caden Jones. Played left tackle as both a junior and a senior. They went to the playoffs in 2021, made it to the second round. And then as a sophomore, they made a state championship appearance. So he comes from a bit of a connection back to the NFL. His uncle is Marcus Jasmine, who played for Texas A&M. And in the NFL for a bit, looked at Texas A&M, looked at Houston, had a few other bigger offers, but it was really down to Florida and Texas A&M in there. So a great get by the coaching staff as they continue to finalize high school recruiting for this class. So any final thoughts, guys? I think that this is going to probably put an end on recruiting for the class of 2020.
Three.
I keep forgetting what year we're in. Class of 2023. So let's give some final takes. I know that we've said a lot about this class, but what do you guys think?
I think the goal of this class for me at least, was to close the gap on Georgia. Did we close the gap from a depth chart perspective? Hell no. They just they're loaded and they on a whole three deep. I think from a team speed perspective, I think we closed the gap that way. You know, the starters that we won't have the depth. And if our starters get hurt, we may not have the same team speed. And that's the difference between us and Georgia. But I think with the receiving core that we brought in, the stuff that you're seeing them do with Arian Smith and a lot of speed, the explosive plays, we're going to see that on the quarterback position. Just from that perspective, I think we closed the gap. But it's just a lot more of like the top-end players that we just needed to close in on. Mm-hmm. Whether it be NIL, the recruiting staff, whatever the hiccup may be, we got to figure that out to be able to get top-tier guys in here to be able to close the gap in that way. But other than that, good class. Just an offensive tackle, a five-star status would have been highly desirable to go along with the quarterback and also maybe a five-star defensive tackle to go in there. But I'm not mad at what Kelby Collins looked like this past week. He looks physically, man, watching him on camera do the MVP thing after the game, he physically looks like those guys you see on Bama team. Like, bro, this is a grown man. So getting guys like that, too, in the trenches were big. So size-wise, I thought we closed the gap as well. It's just so many times we went to the SEC championship game, we got on the field, we looked smaller than the other team. So just small incremental gaps that we closed, but still got a long way to go.
I do want to give his credit. Corey just mentioned it, Kelby Collins, four-star defensive lineman from Alabama. I did win the MVP for the Under Armour All-American game. He joins quarterback Graham Mertz as the other MVP of that game on the Florida Gators roster. Nick, what are your thoughts?
What a take.
Yeah, I have, though, Nick, while you're getting your thoughts together, two of the last five MVPs of that game are on the Gators roster going into the spring.
Dan went deep in his bag for that one. Where'd you get that from? You seen it on Twitter or something? Where'd you get
that
fact?
I saw it on Twitter. Yeah. I don't have a photographic memory of Under Armour All-American game MVPs, but it is nice. Graham Mertz and Kelby Collins. Two of the last five.
There you go. You caught to Georgia in one recruiting class.
I mean, we're talking about closing the gap here on talent, Nick.
Gap's closed. Yeah. Gap is closed.
Figured it out.
Like, what's Georgia going to do to catch up to us, right?
Yeah. I think everything Corey said was right. Starting with Will Norman, he was just a monster down there all week in practice. Getting those guys, I think Rod Kearney, I've talked to a couple people because I didn't know too much about Rod Kearney. And then Napier said he thought he had some of the best offensive line film in the country and talked to a couple coaches and they were like, yeah, he's really good. So excited to see him. I think you did a really good job at receiver and defensive back. Yeah, there's some glaring holes that are still sitting here. You know, you look at the portal and you've gotten two defensive linemen. I think that helps. You get a linebacker, two linebackers now, Deuce Spurlock. I just don't know that you've filled those positions the best you can. Like at the time now you've gotten the best available. But I think you probably missed on some guys throughout the cycle. But I think there's a ton to like about this class. So good start. I think they're done and it'll be interesting because I keep thinking, you know, there's still so many holes, but then you got to think, okay, so Ricky Pearsall showed up right before spring. Like there's going to be another transfer portal window. I think there's still some needs to be addressed on this team.
For sure.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned Roger Kearney. Andrew Ivins ranked him as the best run blocker at the Under Armour All-American game as his one of his 2023 offensive superlatives for that game. As we always say at the Roll Up Network, always trust Atkins evals. Always have to do it. All right. So my final thoughts. I think you guys both hit the nail on the head. I think that Florida right now from an overall class perspective, I think that not only is it a very solid class in terms of blue chip players, they were able to hopefully hopefully all of them look on track to qualify. You have a large number of them that moved into campus the last few days now. So hopefully little attrition, you know, I know a lot of those, you know, those recruiting classes that people like to compare, you know, to Dan Mullen's time here were a bit propped up by some guys that probably weren't ever going to make it onto campus. I think there was one year where five or six of the guys in 2017 or 2018 didn't make it onto campus. So
that was a big Mississippi State vibes there with Dan.
So we need to continue to close the gap. I think right now, if you look at On3's rankings, Florida sits at number 10 overall. Yes, their class average is higher. I think they're number three or number four if you look at it that way. But ultimately, you know, this has to be your floor. You have to move up to, you know, top five to be able to compete. You can be number 10 and you can say, hey, you still beat or stronger than 120 other schools. That's great. But at 10th and you sit fourth or fifth or sixth in the SEC, you know, that's just a really challenging year over year push. So Florida's going to continue to get better, continue to bring in good talent and continue to try to push to win those big battles. So I don't doubt, you know, that Billy Napier and this staff are going to continue to grow from relationships and be able to close that gap a bit. You've already seen it for next year's class with the addition of DJ Lagway, you know, a couple of the guys that you're starting that class with, but now it's a matter of, you know, no longer being 10th and it's now being top five and top three and top two and one. So that's where Florida sits right now. I think we all expected a little bit higher. We all wanted a little bit higher, but I think if you look at the class top to bottom, we're all pretty satisfied just knowing that we're missing those final couple of pieces. So
And shout out to Lagway. He committed to the Adidas game. I think is that what they're calling it now? The one in San Antonio?
Yeah, I think they're just calling it the All-American Bowl.
The All-American Bowl, whatever it is. Bowl.
Yeah, the former Army All-American Bowl.
The bowl was that he was at Caden Jones' commitment and into on the scene of that great chemistry that they got amongst the recruits and the guys that's heading to campus, man.
Yeah, absolutely. The Gators did have 10 players or 9 players, pardon me, in the Under Armour All-American game, and they ended up with 2 in the All-American game, All-American Bowl. So congratulations to all of those guys.
Trae Young Webb hit Peter in his All-Star game. So shout out to that.
So I'm sorry, there was three guys in that game. Trae Young Webb, Roger. No, I'm sorry. It was
two.
Yeah, it was two, Caden Jones and Trayon Webb. So congratulations to those two, Trayon Webb with the touchdown. You know, ultimately, guys put out, had a great showing, and very excited about this new crop of Gators. So with that being said, we did have some transfer portal news as well. Let's get into that. But before we get into who's coming to campus and who left campus and where their homes are, let's give a quick shout out to our friends over at Home Field Apparel. Home Field Apparel is actually sponsoring our buddy Ben Chase on his final game today. He is heading out to the national championship game. He was at the Division II national championship game in Texas on Sunday. We'll be in Southern California for this game. So shout out to Home Field Apparel for sponsoring Ben. And also give a look at homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code Stadium and Gale, all one word. Get 15% off of your order. Best vintage t-shirts on the market right now. You can't go wrong for the University of Florida or about 80 different schools. They're about to launch a whole new line of schools over the next couple of weeks and months. So go check them out. Homefieldapparel.com, promo code Stadium and Gale at checkout. Before we get into the addition that the Gators got over the last couple of days, former safety Trevez Johnson or defensive back has announced that he is going to be transferring to the University of Missouri football program. So best of luck to him. Juan Black has announced that he will be transferring to Temple. Yusuf Mugerbill has announced that he is committed to Deion Sanders in the Colorado Buffalo. And Trent Whittemore has announced that he is going to head to UCF. They are still waiting on homes for David Reese, Dejon Reynolds.
I was shot with Trent Whittemore. I thought he was heading out to Lane Train or Mississippi somewhere for sure, but it's still so much fluid stuff going on in college football. So he probably, I think it's a good spot for Trent.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I think so too. And for someone like him, like, hey, you might be looking for a spot where you can go and play. Like if Mississippi State's got a guy there and they're like, hey, you got to compete. It's like, hey, listen, man, I've been in college for 4 years. I've already got a grad. I'm working on a graduate degree. Like I just need to play ball, get some tape, and then try to go to the league. I need somewhere I can go and play right away.
Let's see here. Where's that? Pardon me. So the Gators, former Gators that have not yet found a home, David Reese, Dejon Reynolds, Chris Thomas, Naquan Wright, and Jordan Young. It does seem we are narrowing in on that. I think we've got 9 days left before they can before the transfer portal window is closed. Ethan White too. Oh, and Ethan White. My apologies. Yep, Ethan White. Undecided.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Ethan White and Jordan Young follow Michael Tarquin out west.
As into USC or just in general out west?
SC. Okay. SC. Day-Day, Dejon Reynolds, come back, my guy. Florida can use you back at receiver next year. Hasn't found a place yet. I think he's originally from Illinois, then moved to Georgia. I thought he might, try somewhere back up Big Ten, but still hanging out there. You got a home back here.
So let me ask you, right, Silk, we'll start with you. Naquan Wright still doesn't have a home. Gators in need of a running back. Obviously, I don't necessarily think that this has been the greatest marriage thus far. Naquan Wright goes into last year as a starter. Now he definitively will not be the starter this year, and you're looking for somebody that will be at best a third place running back, and maybe at worst fourth place running back. Naquan Wright's options appear to be limited, although we don't 100% know. If you're the Gators, do you try to figure out a way to maybe keep him around for the spring and see if there's an opportunity?
If I'm trying that, I don't know. I've in my mindset, I would go after Lorenzo Linger in that facet. If I'm going for a third back, it wouldn't be Naquan in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Just from some things, outside of football or whatever. So I do think we got two possibilities if we can't find a third back with either one of those guys. Did Lorenzo Linger choose?
Oh,
he ended up on Akron. Yeah, he's an Akron. I'm surprised he's somewhere and Naquan's not. I don't know if Naquan's being picky or what, but I think that's interesting. I wouldn't mind going back with now that I realize Lorenzo's off the table. Yeah, I wouldn't mind bringing him back as a third back if he don't have options, Dejon Reynolds, I don't know, bro. It's just gonna be flat out tough for us to get a running back, even in the portal, because of the guys we got.
But it's harder in the portal than you can find. Who's that kid down at Norland? I like him. I think he's only like a 3-star right now, but there's a.
Are you talking about Javon Simpkins?
Yeah. So I think Florida has a better shot of getting a running back that's still in high school, because Montrell Johnson's gone. Like, running backs don't need to stay for 4 years. You're trying to get to your second NFL contract. So to get a guy from the portal, you're coming in, you're like, hey, we have two guys that almost ran for 1,000 yards. You can come in and compete with them. And that doesn't seem appealing to me if I'm, a redshirt junior looking to go get some reps and some tape. If I'm a freshman, okay, that's no problem. Like, 1 year, one of the guys is gone, and then they only have two in front of me. And one of them is, in the same class as me. So I can compete with that. So I think if Florida's trying to get a fourth scholarship running back, I think their best opportunity for that would be high school. And I don't think Naquan's coming back. Naquan's trying to go and play. He's not, coming back.
And I guess my question is, we only have 9 more days, right? 10 more days until that window is closed. And I don't know if I've even heard him visit. I mean, I know that there was a potential Louisville offer about a month ago. I don't know where, that currently sits. And I don't know if a guy like him sees an opportunity that doesn't exist somewhere else and say, hey, maybe my only opportunity is something like being a third string running back at UF. And I don't know if a guy like him says, hey, I'm going to do that. Or do you try to drop, down, or do you take yourself out of the portal and then re-enter in May? I don't know, but I do think that when we talk about where Florida's issues are, needing a running back, I mean, you have a good 2024 running back coming in that you're going to probably have a class of two there. You have Treyon Webb, you have ETN, and then you have, you know, Johnson. You need somebody for at least a small shot, a stopgap. You know, I don't know if you try to kick the tires with Naquan, but I mean, options seem to be pretty limited. So definitely an interesting little
at receiver. I think it's a lot of options, bro. So many talented, productive guys out of there. And I think our missing thing at receiver is speed. And also like maturity with speed. I think we got some young killers coming in here that's gonna, you know, be able to blow the doors off at some defenses. But we need some older guys with some speed that can separate to help Mertz out, because Mertz gonna need some help, you know, as we already know. So
do you think that there's a chance that any of these guys that are in the portal now could end up back on Florida's roster?
Only one I would want back on right now is Ethan, right? Yeah. Rest of those guys I'm okay with.
Yeah, I don't think Ethan's coming back. I think the only one maybe would be Dejon, but yeah, I don't think so.
Interesting situation. Gators do get a linebacker transfer from Michigan, Deuce Spurlock.
Deuce, former, what a name, dog.
What a name. Former three-star out of high school, 6'2", 220 pounds.
Your mama know you're going to be a running back or a linebacker when she named you Deuce. You know what I'm saying? She knows what's up, man.
She does. So redshirt freshman, hasn't spent much time on the field in 2022. I had a couple tackles, I guess, against Hawaii, but ultimately will be in the mix for a starting role with Shamar James, Taraja Mitchell, and Derek Wingo. So someone
was in my mentions. I was like, I talked to a couple of Michigan writers, like, what are they getting in Deuce? And someone's like, you're getting three tackles. I'm like, there's a true freshman on a playoff team. Like, what? What was he supposed to do?
Yeah, this got to be, you know, he's talented, right? Because, you know, he's at Michigan. But if you look at his high, he's young enough to look at his high school tape. Kid play even some receiver. The last linebacker I think we had a receiver that played some receiver in high school was probably John Bostic, a true linebacker. Like he's true to fit. He's not some guy you're gonna be experiment some tweener. I think it's a good get. And I'm pretty sure they're getting these other programs. There's other programs that wanted Spurlock. These SEC programs are getting practice film to look at, to evaluate. They're not just guessing and looking at high school film like us. So they see something. But just from looking at size, tape, measurables, it's just something we need. I think he's going to get a lot of action this year by default. But I think we got a football player, bro, that's going to get his nose in the middle of shit and get busy.
Yeah, obviously very athletic kid. Excited to see what can come of him. You know, Florida's issue, and when we've talked a lot about it, you know, so far over the last number of years, not just this year, has been Florida.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, you're good, man. I mean, Florida's inability to recruit linebacker over the last number of years puts Florida in a position where you have to go get a guy like Deuce Spurlock because that's what's available. You know, you want to be able to develop and hope that you can, you know, get these kids in high school and, you know, then use the transfer portal to find maybe one or two missing pieces. Florida's going to have to rebuild its linebacking room because they haven't been able to recruit it well in the last 5 years, 6 years. You know, so I like Deuce. I think that he's athletic. I think that he's a talented player. I don't think that he's, you know, going to be an incredible linebacker. I don't think that he's going to, you know, completely change the game, but Florida right now needs bodies. Right. And I think that, you know, he's got that, you know, I think you could do worse, but I mean, my bigger issue is you have a lot of talent over the last number of years that has left from the linebacker position, and Florida's just not recruiting well at that position at all. And it's kind of scary to think about.
You haven't been getting true linebackers.
Yeah.
I mean, just look at it. Shamar James is probably one of the few, but we've been getting the Derek Wingos, the Dewan Blacks, No slight to these guys, but also Amari Burney. None of these guys played linebacker in high school. They're not true linebackers. They were athletic guys, that tweeners that we was trying to make linebackers. I don't think Spurlock is going to be Brandon Spikes or anything like that, but I think he's a true linebacker that could play in the SEC.
He does seem to have a better skill set at linebacker than folks that we've recruited with in the past. So, you know, again, I hope that he is a able to put it all together. I mean, he was recruited higher than his, you know, three stars were out of, you know, out of high school. So I'm excited to see where he goes. You know, Florida desperately needed linebackers. They go, they get him and they get Mitchell, a guy from Michigan and a guy from Ohio State. So those are the kind of schools that you want to get talent from. But, you know, again,
three tackles,
but I don't, I'm cautiously and hopefully optimistic for Deuce Spurlock.
We'll
for the name
we'll
like Deuce
him this spring, man. From an athletic standpoint, the size wise, he fits the bill. We'll see what we got spring football, because we're a running football team. So we'll get to see very early what we got.
Absolutely.
But just from looking at the tape, you know, a guy that can run around, he can fly around. He's got speed and athleticism to get from sideline to sideline in true size at linebacker. I don't know how experienced he is at linebacker, but on the tape right here, you can already see what's up.
Yeah, played a lot of outside linebacker and safety in high school. So, again, you know, we'll see. He's being, you know, coached by Jay Bateman, and now – you know, hopefully an opportunity for him to come in a fresh, you know, fresh outlook. You know, I'm curious to actually watch Michigan, with Harbaugh potentially going to the NFL seemingly every year. I know he's interviewing for the Broncos right now, what that could potentially look like from a talent out perspective, maybe, you know, if he were to leave now, or if he were to leave, you know, in the next couple of weeks, what a May transfer outside of Michigan might look like, depending on who they lose.
Is he a redshirt freshman?
Yeah. So he will have 3 years left.
So he's coming. He's going to be a redshirt freshman when he get here, or he a redshirt freshman now?
I think he's a redshirt freshman now, but he still has COVID.
He was a true freshman last year.
True freshman.
So he only played in two games. So he can redshirt. He will be a redshirt freshman. He'll have 4 years of eligibility here.
Okay, so essentially you missed in the recruiting cycle. You missed on – you whiffed a lot at the linebacker position. So you get a guy that's been in a college football program for a year that still has 4 years to play.
Yeah. That's my bad. Yeah, Nick is right. Thanks, Nick. So we will see. He was ranked as the 1,033rd overall player in the class of 2022. They had him listed as an athlete. So,
I don't think we're hyping this kid. I think I think we're hyping him. Like, you need to realize like what the roster looks like.
I think you're hyping to an alternative of a vacant spot, right?
I mean, this kid, if you don't like him, then you're going to have a tough time like swallowing the pill. That is, this kid will have a chance to come in
and start a
job.
We just like, say like what it is. Like,
if you think this kid sucks and that the team's going to win 10 games next year, then you need to figure out something, because this could be a starting linebacker on your team.
This is a kid that is going to get a lot of playing time next year.
Yeah, that's what I said. Like, yeah. I don't expect him to be Brandon Spikes, but I expect him to get a lot of playing time. And I do the things I do like about him. You know, I would prefer the kid that we're getting not to be a 1,000 ranked linebacker last year. But the traits I do like about him, he's a true to fit linebacker and can get sideline to sideline. We'll see how Bateman and how he fits into the defense, man.
So he's going to join Graham Mertz from Wisconsin, defensive lineman Caleb Banks from Louisville, Cameron Jackson from Memphis, and Taraja Mitchell from Ohio State as the five players that have, thus far transferred. He held offers from Auburn, Mississippi State, Washington State, and Boston College as well. Deuce did. So Florida also had a visit weekend as a whole. He was in town. I know that the Gators also hosted Miami offensive lineman transfer, who is going to be announcing. I'm just pulling up the time here. John Campbell, he's going to be announcing at 7 o'clock tonight on Monday. So if you're listening to this live in a few hours, he will be announcing his commitment. But if you're listening on Tuesday morning, this conversation may not matter, or it may mean the world. Who knows, depending on what happens. But I think a lot of people are tight-lipped about where John Campbell is going to go. He is looking at Tennessee as well as Florida, and I believe Florida State as well. Any thoughts on John Campbell before his commitment today?
My thoughts are, man, y'all boys been out of high school too long. Just enroll where y'all going. That's what this is like. All the tops and all this, man. Like, what we got going on, bro? You 33. I'm just playing. I mean, Def, he got 2 years to play, right?
Yeah.
So just, you know, just Def, bro. I wouldn't be excited if he's a starting tackle for me. I think he's okay at pass pro. Could Rob Sell and Stapleton make him a better offensive lineman? Maybe. But he's a guy that's looking for a starting spot as well. But so he's wherever he's going, he's looking to start. Zion, they're expecting him to come back from Miami, so he will be losing the starting gig he had there. So he's looking for a solidified spot. We'll see where we at with it. I wouldn't mind having him if I had another tackle to compete with and possibly be a starter. And maybe second year you get John Campbell after he's been developed a year, but we'll see. We need bodies, bro. And he's a starter, and clearly Tennessee, Florida State, and others are recruiting him, so he's a coveted body.
Yeah. I know it seems like the hype is maybe around Tennessee right now for John Campbell. I mean, I don't know one way or another. I mean, if Florida needs help on the offensive line, just from a depth perspective and experience perspective, you are losing four, you know, of your starters off that offensive line. I think it's going to look completely different. I don't think that John Campbell is going to change the world, but I also don't think that you need to go in and just – I don't know. I'm confused right now on what Florida's got going on in the transfer portal. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. The other name that was in town is Micah Mazkua, I believe is how you say it. He's the Baylor offensive tackle. I'm a little bit higher on him just as a player, but I don't know if what Florida's chances are getting in getting him. I know that he looked at Auburn as well as a few other schools, but that would be he's going to announce on Tuesday at 8 p.m. I think if you don't get John Campbell, you have to get Micah. If you don't get John or Micah, I don't know.
Yeah. No, they got to get – they need offensive linemen, and we need to talk – I mean, we can have a conversation about that after this, but like how many offensive linemen, how many players you just need to be able to conduct the spring ball or spring camp, right? So they got to get offensive linemen to be able to just run camp and do things. And linebacker, safety, some of these positions, even running back, you need some more bodies for camp.
Hey, if you're a student at Florida and you're over 6 foot, over 250, they might have walk-on tryouts because bodies will be light in the offensive line room. You got four tackles.
Yeah. I know four
scholarship offensive tackles. So, like earlier, Silk, you were saying, like, Dan's classes, you were just taking kids to take kids. Like, at tackle, you're at a spot like, hey, just bring in warm bodies.
Yeah, we let's talk a little bit about this. Brandon, you said it. I was looking this up, so I apologize. I missed this when you posted a few minutes ago. Micah in Nebraska with Rule originally recruited him to Baylor. Certainly a possibility. Matt Rule, former Baylor coach, who left to go to the Carolina Panthers, is now with Nebraska. I know he visited Nebraska as well, so Florida could certainly go 0-2 here. I know both of these guys are pretty tight-lipped. So, again, you know, we'll take that information as you will, and we will watch. We'll watch over the next 2 days at 7 and 8 o'clock respectively. But this brings in a bigger question, and I think that we're going to have a good topic of conversation. So let's give a quick shout out to our friends over at Alumni Hall, alumnihall.com, or visit them on Archer Road if you are looking for the best in Florida Gators apparel, accessories, tailgating supplies, whatever it might be, whatever you need, they likely have. Go visit alumnihall.com or go visit them on Archer Road. All right, guys. So let's talk a little bit about the transfer portal. Gators lose 22 players to the transfer portal. You bring in a class of 21 right now. It looks like all of those guys are going to come on. You don't graduate a lot of people, especially with COVID and the way that the transfer portal is working and everything else because of that year. And it does seem like a lot more players are transferring out than it seems like are transferring in. And I do want to say that there is a massive math equation that I think that a lot of people are missing. Just because 22 players transferred out doesn't right. mean that there's 22 available spots open. I think right now, Nick, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Florida has 6 openings right now.
Yeah, but that's
give or take, right? No, I'm just
that's
again
a fake number. But yeah, there are 7. I have them at 79.
So okay, so if you have to be at 85, obviously that's not till next year and everything else, but you want to be at 85. So that means that there's 6 spots right now. I look at this and I look at Florida's issues. They've had a lot of starters. No, pardon me. They've had a number of starters in key positions transfer out over the last few weeks. You have some big kind of glaring holes that you need still, you know, at tight end, offensive line, defensive tackle, linebacker, potentially somewhat in the safety room, whatever it might be. Do you guys see in the talent that you think is coming in and the talent that left as a net positive, a net negative? Because we talk about closing the gap, you know, with a Georgia, with an Alabama. Do you think that Florida is getting closer to closing that gap when you look at the whole big picture of everything and not just recruiting, but you have people leaving, you have Gervon Dexter leaving, you have Anthony Richardson leaving, you have a lot of transfers leaving. How do you guys see where Florida's at right now in the talent acquisition business?
Then they gotta figure out. I mean, you got 6 spots, so they gotta be. If you got 5-6 spots left, as far as like roster spots, those guys, then they might gotta be starters. So you gotta be a little bit strategic. You can't you damn sure can't just pick up warm bodies when all you can get is 5 or 6 guys. What we got, right? Every guy you're trying to get at this point need to contribute, probably, which is probably the expectations of everybody that we brought in so far. So it's just, you know, just that number hit me. Knowing that we got 5 or 6 spots just makes you look at everything a little bit differently. But I think the recruiting class, we spoke about that, what they brought in, and everything's big picture wise. This year, what we lost in the portal, we lost some gems in the draft with Gervon leaving early, Anthony Richardson leaving early. So we lost some guys in the draft, but in the portal, the biggest loss is going to be in the trenches, and we're going to see if we can replace the offensive lineman with Michael Tarquin and Ethan White. Outside of that, I'm just not missing any of that. We've seen what these guys can contribute, and maybe they could figure it out at other programs, but we've seen with 2 different staffs, the big exit in the DB room. I just wasn't high on most of those guys, you know. It's time for, and I'd rather see, we beg for the freshmen all year when these older guys we seen from the Mullen era was getting cooked and barbecued all season. We always say, hey, let's just play the freshmen. Well, that's what it is now. Now it's time to play the young people y'all been crying and asking for. We get to see the Kamari Wilsons and everybody else play some ball. And we just got to plug in the unexpected exits. That's what you really got to plug in. Some of these guys we knew were going to leave, but the unexpected exits are the ones we got to replace. And they got this window and the next window to get starters, because all 5 or 6 of those spots that's left got to be guys that's going to contribute and start. So they got this opportunity and next opportunity. We'll see what's up.
Yeah, that I did like a position by position room by position room breakdown. And it made me feel like last year was almost like year zero. Like this year coming up is going to be year one. Like fans are tired of me saying like you need to be patient, and I get it. It's been 10 years and 3 coaches. I get it. But like 4 this coaches. Is not. Sorry, this is a. This is not a team.
He wasn't patient built. With any of them though.
No.
that's the thing.
But like this team, as it's assembled, is not going to compete for an SEC championship next year. Like, so you have to reset your expectations as you're not that team. You're not. You haven't closed the gap with Georgia, and especially not after one class and then a bump class. Kirby's been there building number one class after number one class after number one class. Like, they have a machine rolling right now. You're not that. Florida's not that.
They're not that guy, pal.
You're not that guy, pal. And it's going to take 2-3 years of getting impact players in the transfer portal. You know, like John Grenard was an impact player. Ricky Pearsall was an impact player. Osiris Torrance, impact. Montrell Johnson, impact. You're going to have to get those guys to make your team better. I don't think they got those guys in the portal this class, those impact players. But, you know, how many of us would have said Osiris Torrance was going to be an All-American when he came over? So maybe I'm wrong about that.
Yeah.
But I don't think you got those guys that are going to impact you to get you to 9-10 wins next year. Maybe something crazy happens in the second portal window, but this is a long rebuild, I think.
Yeah, no, I think that's my biggest question is I don't know how much closer Florida is now than they were 2 months ago, right? So we're in the almost middle of January. If you look back 2 months ago, you look at those that are leaving, those that have joined, those that have left since that time, and those that have decided to come on board during the transfer window. When you look at the talent acquisition business and everything that gets talked about, you know, about what the Florida Gators are doing, how much better is Florida now than they were 2 months ago from a talent on the roster perspective? I think you can say there's definitely some improvements in some areas based on talent and, you know, the excitement about some of the guys that are there, you know, your Kelby Collins, your Jakeem Jacksons, your Eugene Wilson, your Aiden Mizell, those kind of folks, right? There's a lot of excitement about those guys, you know, but when you look about some of the players that transferred out, you look at some of the depth that transferred out, you look at some of the pieces that are coming in, I just don't know how much closer Florida is now as a whole to even the next team up the rung. Not closer
at all.
Yeah.
You're about 3 years away from competing, really. When these freshmen that we just got, the recruiting class that we just got, the guys that just early enrolled, when these guys are sophomores, maybe juniors, you start talking about, you know what I'm saying, seeing some gap closing, because then they got three recruiting class of this quality of player, then closing the gap. But that's I don't see the position that we're in, the way we're recruiting. We're not going to do any of this big NIL transfer portal. I keep mixing the two up sometimes. Mm-hmm. They're like one and two. But we're not going to do these big transfer portal moves. It don't seem, at least not for this year. And some of these teams are doing that because they're buying in for what they got on the roster. And to look at our roster, we're in just a different phase. I don't know from an NIL perspective if the investment is worth trying to make a run at a bunch of talent with what we got on campus right now. But some other programs are doing that because they have senior quarterbacks that are coming back with a lot of hype, and they're trying to make a run at at nothing, really, because they're not going to do anything special. But I get what Florida State programs like that are trying to do. And we're not going to do that right now. So you're looking at like 2-3 years away from competing against with Georgia. And that's going to take a lot of the recruiting class we just saw this year. You need two more of those quality, closing the gap, size, speed, and talent-wise. Because that's the only gap. It's different gaps, too, like depth chart gap. Yeah, you like 3-5 years away from catching Georgia, bro, or most of the teams in the top 10 of college football, to be real with you, man. Our depth chart is terrible.
Mm-hmm. You need one of the two quarterbacks to hit, to pan out. Rashada or Lagway, you need one of them to be him. Yeah, like I said, you need Lagway.
You will put some respect on Under Armour All-American today.
I mean, you're right, Don. Quarterbacks change so much in football, dog. Mm-hmm. Like, as we see with the Jags and any football team, that quarterback play just changes everything. So once you start recruiting top-tier quarterbacks in every class, if we keep getting these five-star quarterbacks every cycle, eventually we're going to hit one. One of them going to be generational. One of them going to change something. You know what I'm saying? Something going to spark. Right. So, like, as long as we're recruiting like that, the quarterback position, and eventually we hopefully the offensive tackle and other positions follow up. But
or like Kirby, you'll get a 5-star every year, and then the 3-star who transferred to JUCO then came back will lead you to back-to-back national champions.
Yeah, but what's nice about that is
with skills, good luck will happen, Nick.
A lot of guys around him.
Yeah, so I'm curious to see. There's still, you know, a number of days. I still don't think the transfer window is completely closed. I think that there's still going to be some movement between now and when it does close at the end of next week. I just, as you start to piece things together, and I didn't want to speak too early just because there still is time in the transfer portal window, and the roster is not done yet, right? The roster for next year won't be done until August next year.
Six starters. In my mind, I think they got to be a little precise on who they bringing in here, especially when we need safeties.
I mean, it is so hard because the transfer portal, for the most part, like, unless you're talking about guys that are transferring, like, up a division, you know, or, you know, from FCS to FBS, right? There's not a lot of bona fide starters unless there's maybe a, you know, a coaching change that's going from one to another. So at best, you're hoping for what? Maybe a 50% hit rate in the transfer portal, like, is probably a pretty good number. You know, if you can hit on 50% of the guys, you're doing pretty good. But still, I mean, that's, I just don't know. I think that Florida's a little bit weaker next year. As a roster going into the season, I think next year could be a very rough year. I think that if you continue to recruit this well and continue to bring in talent, it's going to get better. But I do worry about if the talent acquisition experience doesn't get a little bit stronger, you know, that Florida and Billy Napier and this staff could be in a tough position going into year three.
Yeah, they got to get some tempering going on, man.
I'm here for
tamper harder, baby. Tamper harder.
We got to tamper harder. And hopefully we can tamper. We'll see. We got one more bowl game, national championship tonight. I'm not going to tune in because I got better things to do with my life than watch that red and black program.
Not horn frogging up?
No. If they jump up three scores, y'all text me. All right. Other than that, I'm gonna catch up on some cable television.
Speaking of cable television, you guys watching? Have you guys watched The White Lotus?
Love it.
Man, Silk, you are Nick. You have got to watch it, Silk.
I love it, man.
That's a fantastic show.
I ran through both seasons, man, in like 2 weeks, bro.
I'll be honest with you. Brooke and I didn't know much about it. The only thing that we knew when we went to Hawaii, they were like, oh, the first season of White Lotus was filmed at the hotel next to where we were staying. And I had heard some good things. I didn't even know what the premise of the show was. And so we're on HBO. I said, well, let's start watching. So we had no idea for the first episode or two, really what we were getting ourselves into. We then binged the rest of that season and then watched season two in, I don't know, about 4 days, maybe 3 days. Fantastic show. And then we just finished watching Kaleidoscope, which is a very interesting show.
What's been your order, Dan?
I don't know what order. We just did whatever Netflix order was. I know it changes for everybody, but.
So I thought you were supposed to just like randomly go and pick.
Well, so Netflix will randomly do it as well.
Yeah, so I did what you did. So I went green, yellow, blue, violet. I'm 4 in.
All right. That's a hell of a show. If you guys haven't seen Kaleidoscope, it is a show about a bank heist. And there are, I don't know, we're going to say probably 10 main characters. And each episode takes place at a different time from 25 years in the past all the way up to 6 months in the future of when this bank heist happens. You can watch the show in any order, and watching it in whatever order you do watch kind of changes your perception of what you think of the heist and kind of the happenings of it. But fantastic show as well.
Shout out, White Lotus is raw, man. I like that, man. It's at a resort each season, different resort, a lot of different families, a lot of different dynamics and storylines between each family, couples, all that, man. But dope TV series. Check it out if you haven't.
Very good show. I know that they're looking to do a third one, maybe based on Eastern religion. So that would be cool. All right, gentlemen, any final thoughts on the transfer portal? We've got a couple more days, an announcement tonight at 7. This is Monday, an announcement on Tuesday night that you guys might want to stay tuned to. But anything else before we close out the show today?
What do I have transfer portal wise? We got a couple decisions on the horizon.
Mm-hmm.
Close out. Is anything drop at? Are we done before the done date? Is what I wanted to ask you guys.
I think I got it. Let me
see. The official date is the 15th, but where are we at? Are we on that same page academic wise at drop type vibes? Like, where are we at with it?
Let me pull that up right now. Drop ad for
it's
spring.
Today was the first day of class. There's a couple guys that haven't gotten to campus yet.
The 13th. So you have 4 days. Is the end of drop ad.
Two guys. I thought Dijon Reynolds was going to early enroll. He's going to be here in the summer now.
Dijon Johnson.
Reynolds. Jesus. I was talking about Dijon Reynolds. Dijon Johnson.
Reynolds paid you to hype him up on the show today. I can tell.
That's my NIL deal.
That's your NIL, bro. You got a secret sponsorship.
Dijon Johnson will be here in the summer. Jaden Rashada and Will Norman were not did not get in Sunday. I think they're both expected to be here at some point this week, though.
Yeah, because Jaden Rashada, the article that I read, and there's a really good article by G. Allen Taylor from The Athletic that talks about the Jaden Rashada recruitment and everything else. So clears up some speculation as well that the timeline had, but I'd take a look at that. But I think he was going to be – I know that he had already packed up and moved his stuff, so maybe he's spending some additional time in Orlando before heading up to Gainesville.
I do want to tap in with Neil Blackman in the basketball, man. We got to talk some basketball. It's been just a little weird with the basketball.
But a big win over Mike White. First SEC win for Todd Golden and the Gators.
Yeah. Mike caught these hands.
The 11-3 Georgia Bulldogs. Battle of the
scoring drought, man. It's like, who could have the longest scoring drought?
Feels like the last 7 years.
Yeah,
I want to tap in with some basketball talk, though. We got to bring in our a couple of different guys that we got.
Yeah, let's bring in Eric. Let's bring in Neil. Let's talk a little bit about this basketball team. So we'll do that over the next couple of weeks. And just so you guys know, we're going to be back in our bag interviewing some former Gator greats over the next few months as well. We're getting to that point in time where we're going to be shifting some of the content away from just football all the time. So, before we close out today, if you're watching on YouTube, please hit that like button. Please for subscribe. Sure. We are doing this on Monday afternoons each and every week. Please rate us and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the other platforms as well. And please visit Alumni Hall. Please visit Home Field Apparel. And please give Alan Horn a call as well. But Silk, I think you have a song of the week this week, my friend.
Oh, snap. I got you, man. I'm going to go R&B too, man. I don't know what
112?
R&B. 112? I'm a big 112 fan, but I ain't going to take it way back like that, bro. It's showing my age, bro.
Oh, man.
Okay, give me Grim Lynn. Grimlynn. Grim Lynn, whatever you need.
Whatever you need. All right, gentlemen. Well, we will see you at the same corner, the same time next week.
Same corner, same time.
Already. Doing things to me, doing you.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.